These lakes hold a lot of stories, and all of them get better every time they're told. Because you've got 40-inch gators out there, giant lakers, crappies, sunnies, and walleye. So many walleye. So get ready with the best from clam, otter, vexlar, hummingbird, garmin, 13 fishing, and many more. The Shields Ice Fishing Sale runs now through December 13th, in-store and online at shields.com. The ice is calling.
Well, hello there, everyone. Bill Shirk, the man about the woods. Welcome to the Minnesota Bound Podcast, the stories behind the stories, presented by our good friends at Kinetico Water Treatment Systems. You know, my family uses Kinetico, and you should too. Also, Star Bank, the bank we use at Minnesota Bound. Don't forget North Dakota. Plan all of your fall hunts in North Dakota at legendarynd.com. And also, the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. Thanks for sponsoring the podcast. Well, we've got a doozy today. I am lucky enough in my line of work to meet a lot of wonderful people. And a few kind of like the cream rise to the top. And Sean Emery is my guest today. You probably know him better as Shug. He is the hammock winter camping Minnesota fiend who is supported by literally hundreds of thousands of people in this world as a entertainer and a great resource for people who want to get outdoors. Sean, are you around today?
I'm around. First, let me just say I feel ashamed because I'm just drinking regular tap water, and it should be Kinetico. And I might, you know, I think I'm going to change to Star Bank because sometimes people call me a star, though I like to think of myself more as a nebulous, which I sounds better than a star, but I think is actually less than. So
I feel like today is kind of an important day, right? So you're the guy that everyone goes to the state fair to see, but you've got a little bit of news.
Yeah, you know, it's not really out there yet because, you know, how do you get it out there? But I have retired
the Minnesota Bound podcast.
Yeah, that's right. I have retired my act. You know, I'm a circus guy. I just call myself a comedy juggler, an entertainer. You know, juggling has always been my tool to get on stage. You know, whether it's a guitar or jokes, you know, we all need a thing to get us on stage. And I've always been like, honestly, I want to do as little juggling as I can, but that depends on the audience. If they're just going to sit there, then I'm going to keep juggling for them. But yep. If they get into the in-between stuff, they'll get less juggling, less unicycling, fire eating. You know, I'm a former Ringling Brothers Barnum Bailey circus clown. So you just ended up in life parlaying those skills on into other things through your life, just, you know, instead of getting a real job.
But you're not going to juggle anymore.
No. You know, had the fair happened this year, it would have been my 29th consecutive year at the Minnesota State Fair. And it is by far my favorite gig in the world for many reasons. Number one, you know, you're out there. Great crowds. We're the only fair that is just, you've seen it, wall to wall shoulders, you know.
Yes.
On a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I mean.
And all smiles.
All smiles. Everybody eating, everybody, you know, out. And I have people that have been coming to my show for 20-something years. They go, this is our 24th time we've seen you. And I always go, why? Why? And they go, well, you just always seem like, you know, we've seen you have shows where you're struggling. We've seen you have shows where you just nailed it. But you always pay attention to us. And that's always been my thing is like, you know, in the circus, like with Ringling Brothers and having gone to Clown College in 1979, you learn. An old vaudevillian once said, pay attention to the crowd. If you can get them in the gut, they'll watch you whittle a piece of wood. Now, it took me 10 years to figure out what that meant. I was going, is he saying I should whittle more? But, you know, it's that thing of going out there, looking the crowd in the eye, take advantage of the moments that happen with people walking by right. Or coming in, what the weather is. Is it 99 degrees with 100% humidity? Is it cold? Just factor that into your show. And I think people just like to know that you're in that moment with them, and they will come back and see you again. They'll invest their time in you. And it's been really hard to make this decision, because I sit around and my wife's heard it for the last 5 years. I go, okay, look, honey, I'm 62 now. I keep coming up with these opening acts for myself to do there. Like, I think you saw it last year was Prince Pronto. The year before, I was a sideshow guy. I sing a song, I come out and I open for myself, with my little gag being, you don't know it's me. But of course, I know they are. That's the point.
Right.
And the thing is, I like to look at that audience and I recognize faces. You know, every show, the crowd is 50% of the crowd or more has seen me before. I recognize them. And I like to see them kind of look at each other with this little look and nod. And in my mind, they're always going, look at him. He's still trying. He's still trying. And it is, I've always said, because another old vaudevillian said, you know, you got to know when to leave, that maybe it's just best to get out while I was still good, instead of, you know, now I'm, you know, I'm there for 35 years, I'm there for 40 years, and people are going, you know, oh, he's getting kind of old. Look how sad it is now. And I never wanted people to come out of pity. And with this whole COVID thing, boy, did it put a light on that show business is pretty non-essential. Because I lost all my work all summer, every gig I had, every gig now. And I just said, you know, it's just time to do something else. I'm a hanger-oner. And, I called my agent and I called Teresa at the Minnesota State Fair. And I said, I'm going to give it up, Teresa. And, you know, and of course, she was so great about it, but also sad about it. And I said, I'm sad about it, but it just seems like the time. And, you know, it requires a lot of maintenance to do what I do as far as practicing juggling. And yes. I just want to spend the rest of my life doing something else, to be honest. And that's it.
So you and I connected years ago because I was watching you online. You have darn near 100,000 subscribers to your YouTube channel because
almost there.
You get outdoors and they're going to send you some big titanium plastic plaque, right? When you get to 100,000.
I just heard that. I didn't even know because, to be honest, I've never really looked at those. You know, if you've watched my videos, you know, I'm one of the guys that never goes, hey, if you like what you're seeing here, go ahead and click that subscribe button. And if you really like me, click that notification. I never do that because to me, it just seems obvious.
You don't have to. Content rules.
That's what I think. I don't like it when people do it to me, particularly when they're 30 seconds into a video and they ask me to subscribe. I'm going, I don't even know if I like you yet.
Right.
I don't have the self-esteem to do it. I just let it play, you know.
Well, a ton of people like you. You're almost at 100,000 followers, and you put up one of your videos where you hit the woods. And it's amazing to me that so many people stop what they're doing and click on your videos, right? Like, you'll be at 25,000 people after 24 hours, which
I do. It is amazing.
It's your next chapter.
Well,
you are an outdoor communicator.
It's a sustainer. You know, it's I look at YouTube as you know, when I retired, I had a couple of friends in the business that were so surprised because, let's be honest, most entertainers never retire. I'm always doing these gigs. I do this gig down in Florida every year for this Canadian company, and we do a 3 weeks of a snowbird extravaganzas. And I look at some of these acts that come and work and I'm going, they're 85 years old. It gives me no hope of retirement.
Yep.
And I get to know some of them and I'm going, why are you still doing it? And of course I get the answer. Yeah, you know, kid, I got to have the people. I love the applause, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then as I get to know them, they go, well, I've had 5 divorces. I invested in 2 bad comedy clubs. I never saved my money when I was young. So me and my wife, Meg, have always knuckled down and been pretty frugal and, you know, started IRA accounts and things like that. So we could kind of have the choice to not become that act that's on stage and is totally clocked out, that is just playing above everybody's heads and they're not making eye contact and they just look dead inside. So with that said, these friends of mine said to me, they said, Shug, you got a lot of passive income, you know, meaning the money you get from Google on YouTube. If you stay on YouTube long enough, they come to you and ask if you want to do the ad revenue stuff and all that. And it's like, well, why not? Put a lot of time into these things. Now, your crew knows what it's like to go out and shoot, get in front of the camera, come up with the stuff, edit it, put it out, answer everything, deal with it. You know, it's a time is money. So I said, sure, I'll take a little bit of Google money. Mm-hmm. And it's really just mad money. It's not getting rich money. It's I look at it like I'm mowing lawns for a living as a kid. And, you know, I got some money at the end of the week. So it all adds up in the end.
But yeah, but you don't end up with tennis shoes covered in green stain. You're going up to Finland, Minnesota to hike into the woods, throw up one of your hammock camping setups and
right.
Show people what that magic is like.
It's a really weird social experiment to be on YouTube. For one, I see, well, I think people want content. Number two, I do get people that watch me sometimes. You know, of course you get your people that don't like you. They're going to watch 10 seconds of you and go, I don't like this guy at all. Boom, click. We all do that. That's fine. That's part of being on YouTube. But I get a few people that will write to me and go, I didn't know how to take you at first. Didn't really like you, but I was kind of drawn to your video. And after watching a few, I realized I really liked you. And I go, yeah, you know why? Because I'm just being me, man. I'm being honest. I'm not manufacturing that stuff too much. That's just me being me. And if I don't have fun shooting these things, then I don't want to shoot them. You know what I'm saying? That,
yeah.
Because I tried being kind of cut and dry for a couple, and I'd come out going, hey, everybody, this is Shug here. Welcome to my video. And within 10 seconds, I start mocking myself. I can't just play it straight. And I've always told people that have asked for my advice, I'm going, be you. You know, if you're kind of a dull person, you can still do a good video. Just look into that lens, be you. Maybe you show more footage of other things than yourself, or you're a voiceover person because you don't like to be in there or play the camera. I'm in show business. I like playing the camera and I enjoy the editing. So it just started as something, as a creativity leads to creativity thing. So to get back to what you first said, I'm amazed that people watch it, but I think they're, I like to look at my stuff kind of as infotainment a little bit, get some info out of it, but you're going to have to put up with a little bit of me.
See, I'm going to become your consultant and help you out. First off, okay. You used to be in show business, but you just told me you retired.
Well, I still got some irons in the fire. You know, there's still acting and commercials and,
you know, the thing wife. Is
when you retire, it doesn't mean your talent goes away. It just means that I'm not going to do fairs and festivals. You know, the agency I work with, I've been with GL Berg Entertainment for over 25 years. And, you know, and I don't know if you know Gary, my agent, or the agency. It's a regional agency on a national level. And what happens with anything, I sat down with Gary once a couple of years ago. And, you know, if you have a company, it looks like this. Somebody said, if you have a furniture company and every week you send out the same flyer with the same couch or settee setting on it, people see that same picture over and over and they're not looking anymore. So if you have live entertainers, you got to look for new, fresh meat to have on the cover of your brochures and things. And I basically got to the point where I felt like George Blanda. And I'm just seeing if that name rings a bell to you.
It does to me. I know that. I know that game. But no, I'm going to speak for a lot of people and say, I get it. You're retired, but we hope you pop up in some place other than just YouTube. Because, and I'm just going to get to it. I was going to talk about this towards the end of the show, but your Halloween video that you just posted on a most curious character, Cappy Coleman, like to have 8 minutes of time out of my day when I'm having a hard time trying to write a script and I just drift off on my computer to YouTube and stumble into that. Oh my goodness. Game changer.
Well, you know, doing Cappy kind of goes back to my roots of being a Ringling Brothers clown. It's really, you know, the thing in the entertainment industry I've been in for the last 30 years here in Minnesota, and it was one of those lessons you learn right when you come out of Ringling Brothers as a clown, is in America, no one wants to pay a clown any money. So you have to drop your makeup. So you do all your same skills just without the makeup, which leads you into a, just a little different way of presenting them. You know, you're tapping into your inner clown more than your the visual clown. It's a fine mix. And, you know, there's nothing like slapping on the grease paint, becoming a character. When I sit down to become Cappy and I got my little pointed ear tops and I'm gluing that nose on with the spirit gum and I'm putting in the, you know, Cappy does that. Yeah, Cappy Coleman. And I do the teeth clacking and I got those fake bottom yellow teeth that really clack well. And, you know, he's not a harmful character. He's just, he's a basically a friendly ghoul,
yep.
But he's going to give you coal. I really enjoy that kind of entertainment. To be honest, I just got tired of doing 30 years of the same markets I've been doing. You know, I go do a lot of corporate shows. And to be quite honest these days, you know, corporate shows take, of course they pay well, but you got to go and win over. Let's say I got to go do the crowd of, you know, like I did Pheasants Forever once. So it's all pheasant guys. It's all window manufacturers. It's all bankers. So your audience are all these adults who are having their, you know, usually holiday dinner, their prizes, their State of the Union talk from the CEO. And then I got to come on and do an hour. And I look at their faces sometimes and they're going, oh, we got to watch this guy. What a juggler guy. You know, because they're kind of being held captive by management because the door prizes aren't to the end. And if they get up and go, everybody sees them leave. And I see that feeling. So I got to go out there and get them, man, in 2 minutes, right?
Yep.
And when you don't, it's a long hour, you know? And so I always done this thing where I step into the crowd and they go, look, hey, listen, everybody, the more you clap and laugh, the sooner this crap is over. And I'll have some table full of guys that'll go, okay. And in that moment, I can see them kind of go, oh, this might not be too horrible because he's going to pay attention to us. And if we just sit here, he's going to keep beating it down. Because, you know, I've had people that have booked me for an hour and I did 57 minutes and they came up and said, you were 3 minutes short. And I have to go back and go, well, you had me on an hour and a half late. But there's a lot of pressure to a corporate show. And in today's times, people are sensitive. It's like there's people waiting. This happens at Minnesota State Fair too, for you to do or say something that they can turn you in. They can get on you. And it has taken a bit of fun out of the live moment.
Life,
you know,
is too short.
And when you ruin a corporate show, and it's always the person, you must know this too in your business, it's the one person that did not like you is going to go up and tell the people that hired you. Everybody that likes you, they're just going to go out going, yeah, it's pretty good, you know. And so in today's, you know, I feel sometimes like an old boomer. I'm 62. I mean, I said it on one of my camping videos this summer, and I kind of mean it. I'm going, I'm taking my car keys out of my pocket, and I'm handing them over. And I'm not saying to who, just to life in general. And I'm going to crawl in the back seat and ride around with you with my seatbelt off.
So
go ahead. Drive the car.
This seems apropos. Nobody knows this about me, but I am trying to get through the 100 most profound silent films. And one of them on my list is an old piece called He Who Gets Slapped. Have you ever seen this film?
Not that one, no. Not unless it's Buster Keaton.
Oh my goodness, I won't give it away, but it's a silent film about a guy who gets life handed to him, and so he becomes a clown that gets slapped in every show.
Aha.
And well, it is just a sad, profound story. He Who Gets Slapped. That's how I'm feeling right now about you. You need to watch this.
Well, you know, I'm used to that. Like when I was a ringling clown, I probably took 50 slaps a day from other clowns, you know, because actually circus clowning, when you really look back, go pretty violent. There's a lot of slapping, punching, you know, I'd take 40 falls a day on concrete. But what it is, Bill, is I feel like I'm, you know, you talk to different people. Like I've never been one of these people that said, I want to do this until the day I die. I'm more like, I want to do this while I'm really, really digging it and enjoying it. And one thing is the last 10 years of my juggling career, I'm really good. One thing I'm really good at, it's something I do talks about, is how to, at a certain point, nobody's going to make your job more interesting for you. You have to reach down inside yourself and make it interesting for yourself, you know. And that's what I've been doing. You know, that's why I started doing the opening act for myself at the fair, going, God, I feel like I'm just getting up and doing the same old thing all the time. Yet people continue to come, which makes you realize they're not coming for the juggling. They're coming for what happens in between. So it has been mentally tiring to continue that faking yourself out to go on stage with this renewed vigor. And it's a great thing. And I'm really good at it. But physically, I feel good. But, you know, it's going into acting. It's a little bit of just going, well, maybe I'm not old enough to be a real old man. Maybe I'll come back when I'm 75, because people like to see the real old man doing it. But, you know, with the pandemic and all the work on, I just said, I mean, because it doesn't even feel like I'm retired yet, because I don't have any gigs anyway. You know, they all went away and will be gone for a while. So, you know, in the entertainment industry. So it's an odd moment. And, you know, my saving grace is what you said. Like everybody that retires, half the time they're back in a year. I could always come back. Talent doesn't leave. I juggle every day just to see if I can still do it. And I go, God, I'm actually better at it now because I don't care. I don't have to. You know, interesting. I wonder sometimes, you know, when you watch Minnesota Bound or watch an outdoor show, and, you know, we see you guys going out into the woods pheasant hunting or fishing or whatever. This is my question as a guy that's kind of related to you. We've met, we're in the entertainment industry, and I sometimes wonder if it ever becomes a job where you have to go get it done. You have to write the script. You don't have to give me an answer because this is your podcast, but we all go through that. Sometimes even when I go on a backpacking trip, it's a little bit because I'm going, I haven't taken a backpacking trip in a while, and my YouTube subscribers going, hey, when are you going out again, Shug? Really looking forward to your next trip. When are you going out? So there's a responsibility to your, like with you guys, with your viewers on Minnesota Bound, with your listeners on a podcast. If you care about your people, you feel a responsibility to them, which then you have to go out and deliver.
Yep. I'd love to share the story. That will never change. And that probably sounds a little bit thick, right? But
yeah,
but I love that. The difference is you're going out every time with expectations, meaning got to hit budget. Don't right. just take camping trips to go for 3 days and do my thing. There are expectations. All right, I'm going with the Shug. We need to shoot this. We need to get this interview. We need to try to document this. Oh, he's talking about doing some dinner, right? So everything's got expectations.
Yes.
So it's very different from when the Shirks just pack backpacks and go on their own. But that's
no okay. You know, Pete's not okay. there filming you. There's it is okay. We got the greatest jobs in the world, but everybody has to realize, you know, even an astronaut yawns once in a while.
Hey, consultant time.
You know,
consultant time. You used to have.
Oh, true. Yes.
Used to have. All right. I want to get to this thing about you. All right. So when we're in the woods, we're both in our own ways, coffee snobs. You have this thing.
I have become more of one lately, but.
All right. Correct me if I'm wrong. Let me see if I can say this right. Your preferred coffee of choice in the morning, Medaglia d'Oro coffee.
How right, and I usually have always called it Medaglia d'Oro instant espresso.
Yeah,
though I have this one Italian lady that's one of my commenters, and she loves to remind me, "Shush, the G is a silent, is Medaglia d'Oro." So I started saying Medaglia d'Oro. Then, of course, I got a lot of commenters coming on going, "Shug, we miss it the way when you say Medaglia d'Oro." So I do a fine mix now of the two, and I've always done the instant. And since I did a Turkish coffee video 5 or 6 weeks ago and let people, I dropped the name James Hoffman, who's a YouTube coffee guy. And people really, man, I didn't realize the coffee culture is so big till I started watching, staying up late at night when Meg goes to bed and watching coffee videos to learn how to pull a perfect espresso shot. And I thought, this will be easy. And I'm realizing, oh, God, this is like learning hammock camping or anything else. This is intense.
So why do we love coffee so much, or specifically a good cup of coffee so much when we're outdoors?
Well, I'll tell you my reason, and then you can tell me yours. I got into hammock camping, and if people really ask me, why do you hammock camp? I go, to be honest, the number one thing is not the hiking, not the adventure. It is to wake up in the morning, go grab my food bag, crawl back in that hammock, sit up, and make myself a cup of Medaglia d'Oro espresso from my hammock, and sit there in the hammock like little Lord Fauntleroy, drinking my drink and just watching the morning wake up and eating my chocolate peanut butter pap tarts and having my grits or whatever, and going, all I got to do today is not die. I'm a backpacker. I'm not out hunting. I'm just walking but just sitting there in that hammock all nice and warm and comfortable is, you know, I don't have to go to work. No one's asking me to do anything. It is the finest moment.
It's the moment. Yes.
It is the moment. You know, you made it through the night. I sleep 10 or 12 hours a night in a hammock, which I said in my last video going, I brag about this a lot. I should be ashamed. But when you're an old man, sleep is valuable. Yep. Now, naps are one thing, but I really at home don't sleep. You know, I was up at 5:45 this morning. I'm eager to get up and greet the day. But I've got my agenda, you know, and I just get up. Now, in the woods, I'm laying there all cozy, and I'm going, I don't really want to get up yet. But I got to run out and get that food bag, and it's like minus 22, and crawl back in. So I've started grinding coffee. This last trip was the first time I did a pour over, and, you know, just to see how people react. But I made sure it was ground. I got the beans. I did not change my brand of coffee. That would be too much for my viewers right now. So I stuck with Medaglia d'Oro. And I even did a little comparison. I had some instant with me, and I got to camp the second. This was the trip I took. I went Wednesday, Thursday, Friday last week just to go up and test this Superior Gear hammock made right here in Minnesota with a built-in underquilt. And it was pretty cold. It was cold Thursday when I was walking. It was one of those days where the woods are gray, super windy, that wet bone cold of about 24 degrees. You know, my feet were wet because I was just hiking in my regular hiking shoes with my Cotula ice spikes and switching my footwear out to the booties. I didn't even bring my mukluks. I just brought synthetic booties out to camp. And when I got to camp, I was cold. It's a little bit wet. I took the humpback trail. It's got a little effort to it. And I wanted a warm drink right away. And I did not want to mess with the pour over. So I grabbed, you know, boiled my water, got my little bag of Medaglia d'Oro instant espresso, made that coffee. And I realized, oh yeah, you know, the instant kind of gets a little crema on top. And I think my comparison out there was going, it's intense. It tastes dusky and diesel-y, where the fresh ground and the pour over tasted chocolatey and nutty and unctuous, you know. And I learned that word unctuous watching all these espresso reviews. But what it is, the coffee moment, for some people it might be the shot of whiskey, the shot of scotch, the cigar, the lemonade. You're having that coffee, and I'm not a guy, I've learned as I get older to grab these moments, these 5, 10, 20 minutes of moments, and just be there in them. You know, I'm starting to get a little zen as I get older. Excuse me while I cough a second. Sorry. And grab this moment and just be in that moment of kind of nothingness of this experience. You know what it is? Watching these videos on espresso, you know, now coffee culture is get it to go, walk with it. You're drinking it while you're working. You know, people are in their coffee shop on their computer. But I love, it was pointed out to me, the old guys in Italy that would stop in the coffee shop, get their doppio espresso, their two shots of espresso, have a cigarette, and just get away from work. They're not on their computer. They're just having a coffee. it, just taking a moment.
The moment.
The moment. That's what, basically, that whole tirade was about, getting to the moment.
All right, we're going to get to the moment in a second, but first, we need to pay for this whole deal. We need to pay for this
podcast. Good word from our sponsors.
I want to thank a couple of sponsors, and I bet you know our first one, since you talked about better water. Kinetico, right? Do you know Kinetico? Well, my family does. The Shirks do. You know, we live in the country, and we have that ironclad, just stinky well water. Good news and bad, but the good news, we treat it with a Kinetico whole home water treatment system. As part of that, we've also got Kinetico's K5 drinking water system that the boys love. My 9 and 11-year-olds absolutely dig our home water. And I always joke, because they fill their water bottles before they head to hockey practice, and they are Kinetico kids, home and away. We don't have all that buildup in the shower, and Katie says the water is great for her hair. I don't know how you beat that. Kinetico. Call Kinetico like the Shirks did and look forward to clean, safe water. We also have to thank our friends at Star Bank.
Hi there, Ron Shera here for Star Bank. If you're putting your money into mega banks down the street, who knows where that money's being used? Bank locally. Keep your money local with a community bank that actually cares about you, your family, your business, and your goals. Check out the bank we use at Minnesota Bound. Try Minnesota's own Star Bank. You can find them online at starbank.net. When you call Star Bank, you actually hear a real living person answering the phone. Star Bank has 10 convenient locations around Minnesota to serve you and all the mobile banking products that you need to manage your money. Check out all that Star Bank has to offer at starbank.net.
Thank you, Star Bank. Up next, North Dakota. It's been a great hunting season this year. Much of that is because of North Dakota. If you go, Shug, just be prepared to bag your limit of birds this fall. The pheasants are calling. You know, the state reported earlier this year that the ringneck pheasant crowing counts are up about 15%. And now that the hunting season is underway, we are hearing about all these limits of birds. Heck, our Flush crew, the TV show The Flush, we were just there, and guess what? They found tons and tons of birds. And don't forget, North Dakota's central region is prime habitat for hunting waterfowl. North Dakota, where people are friendly and the hunting is better than good. Visit legendarynd.com to plan your trip. Finally, one more. We've got the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources.
I want to talk about Minnesota's wildlife management areas are a vast array of lands across all of Minnesota. And these 1,440 Minnesota wildlife management areas are valued for not only wildlife, but Minnesota's outdoor recreation opportunities. For those of you that don't know, the Minnesota DNR maintains hunter walking trails. They plant food plots for wildlife and develop acres and acres of prairie and grasslands. To find out more about Minnesota's wildlife management areas, go to www.mndnr.gov/WMAS.
Okay, back to Sean Emery. I'm pretty sure there are laws against you having a gun.
You know, it's sort of funny. When I watch you guys hunting on the show, and I see hunters, and, you know, if we go back to moments, you know, you always talk to fishermen, and I know you're a big fisherman. They always say it's less about what you catch. It's the moment of, you know, being out on the lake or being on the shore, being in the river. Well, it's great when you are catching. My fishing experience, if I did not have the moment, I would have not enjoyed the moment. I remember growing up down south in North Carolina, and a lot of my friends, you know, their families were from the hunting culture. My dad was a Navy chief, so we just didn't have hunting. You know, it just wasn't one of our family things. Right. And I asked one time, I said, do you think your dad would take me hunting with y'all? And he went, Sean, now, my dad loves you as a football player and everything, but he says you'll scare off the animals. He doesn't quite trust you with a gun.
Some things never change.
Nope, I kind of went, nope, I get that. Thanks for your honesty. I just thought I'd ask. I could stay back and cook. I'm a fine baker.
All right, I got to ask you. Right. There is one trip that I feel like put you on the board in the outdoor world. You were doing your YouTube videos. You were going off. You were testing all these hammock setups. You kind of became the definitive voice in that world. But then there's this video of you in this frost-covered mask, wrapped up in this cocoon of a hammock, hanging in deadly temperatures.
It was deadly. It was otherworldly.
And that video went nuts.
It still does. I get comments on that video weekly. Occasionally a nasty one, but that's YouTube.
How cold was it?
Well, I say minus 40. Now, it might have gone lower because if you watch that video, you can see my thermometer. I have one of those indoor-outdoor thermometers.
It hits its
lower. It goes to LL, which is lower limit. I actually think it probably got to minus 42, 43, but I can't claim it because if you're doing videos, you know how it is. It has to be very literal.
Yep.
If you can't show it, then it didn't happen. But that was just, you know, when, you know, my wife Meg and I met when we were with Ringling Brothers, and she was a showgirl aerialist, still has a circus school here, but she's from Minnesota. She's from Mendota Heights, you know, born and reared. So when we got married, we lived in New York City for years. And when we were, one day I spouted out, I'd love to have a driveway again. And we did a coin toss and we said, well, we're going to move to Minnesota. Plus she wanted to be back around her big family. And I came here the first time in a winter, and I remember my nose hairs freezing going, man, this is a different cold. This is cold, cold. This is kill you cold. This is a state when you move here, you got to spend $1,500 on gloves and hats and boots. And, you know, you probably remember the United stores. I went straight to United.
Of course.
It was like suiting up, man. It was like, this is not kidding around stuff. Your little jumper from your auntie in Ireland is not going to cut it in January here. So living here, as you well know, if you don't embrace the winter, man, more than half of your year, you're not going out. And I'm talking camping. You know, there's plenty of other, go cross-country skiing or downhill. There's some snowmobiling, whatever. There's a million things to do. But as far as like backpacking, I said, well, I got to embrace winter camping. And I had it down pretty good, got into hammocks, and I was looking, I'm on this site called hammockforums.net. It's just a specific hammock, camping hammock site. A little bit of your regular hanging hammock, but mainly camping. And I had done a minus 26 degree trip here in Minnesota and realized, oh, I'm the record breaker for cold as far as that crowd. Wanted to see if I could do it in a hammock because people told me I couldn't. So I had seen, I was looking at my weather app and saw that it was going to be minus 40 up in Ely. This is probably was 6, 7, 8 years ago. I can't remember the year of that video, Bub. It's 6, 7, 8 years old. And I went, man, I'm going up there, but I really don't want to go. It'd be stupid to go do this alone because this is kill you cold. So I called up a guy named Strung Out who was just crazy enough. And this guy said, would you want to go test this? We'll just go up to Bear Lake State Park in Ely, hike back a couple of miles. We could bail if we need to, you know. Not like we're going to the Arctic. We're not like Will Steger. But let's test our hammocks, man. And I have this pod system that I had rigged up, which is an old sleeping bag over my hammock with an underquilt inside and a bit of a top quilt. And I figured in my weird math, that I'd be warm enough. Well, blah, blah, blah. We get out there. It is cracking cold. And that night we were watching the temperature just drop. We had a big fire, walked out in the lake. There was not a lick of wind. Had it been windy, that would have been a game changer. There was not a puff, Bill. I mean, not a wisp of wind. And that night when we walked out in the middle of that lake, and Tom makes flashlights that guys use on rifles and guns, a lot of cops buy them, you know, super bright. Like he can just click that little light on and it lights the woods up.
Tactical.
We were kind of out on the lake. All the stars that you could see were red and green for the ice crystals. And these ice crystals were just coming down from the sky, just drifting down. Wasn't snow. It was so cool. You can see it in the video because he lights up his flashlight. You see these little ice crystals, just no drift at all, just kind of coming down. And it was quiet, and it was like being on the moon. And I tell you, when you're, you know, we cut a ton of wood. When you're standing, when you're sitting by that fire, you get a little bit cocky. By the time you, when it's time to go to sleep and you walk over to your hammock to get in, which is maybe 75 feet away, it is deathly cold. And I practice, you know, one of the things like with my videos or when I go to a hammock hang with people in winter, I go, don't just think of your sleeping system. You're, you know, hunters know this. You're going to be outdoors all day in cold weather. So you got to think of your clothing system. Now, when you go over to backpacking, when you go over to undress, you know, you can go into this panic mode of you're trying to pull a shirt off and you're fighting it. And you can't breathe. And you got so many shirts on. You feel like an astronaut. You can't move. And then you take a boot off and then you're back trying to undo your pants and then another shirt. I always go, you got to take a breath, relax, decide if you're going to do your top layer first, your bottom layer, but don't fight your clothing. You know, you're taking clothing off to get into your sleeping thing. You're definitely not going to wear everything you're wearing at camp. You know, so you kind of have to zen your way through it, you know, and run in place and be as warm as you can before you do it. But when I got zipped up in that thing, in my pod, of course, 10 minutes into it, I had to get up and take a pee. That's just natural.
Whoops.
You know, and that's just excitement, Bill. That's excitement. And, just, you know, that feeling of getting back in and being warm. But I look, that's one of the few videos I go back and look at sometimes to see what gear I carried. But I see myself sitting up in the hammock, having my coffee, my Daglian Oro instant espresso. I'm sitting up in my hammock, just talking to the camera. I'm just wearing my little light. Funny thing in the last video, you can watch videos of me 15 years ago. I still wear the same gear.
Yeah.
It's just a testament to good gear. Yes. But I'm just wearing my Outdoor Research down jacket. It's pretty light. I'm talking, it's minus 32. I'm just look comfortable as can be. It amazes me. I just go, wow, I really was. I was no stress. It was a wonderful trip. It was, and so we stayed two nights. And I think the first night it was minus 37, and then it got to the minus 40. And just to prove that a hammock can do it, but I've had a few people on YouTube that go, you don't winter camp right. That's not winter camping. I'm going.
You're doing it wrong. Yes.
I never understand those people. And I'm just like going, well, okay. Thank you. Thank you for the advice. Take it all back. That was a fluke, but that was it was really cool. And my test was just to see if I could do it in a hammock. That was the main thing. Kind of fun.
And you did.
I did. I was thrilled with it.
It is all about having the right gear.
And working it right. And the other thing I think is confidence. You know, it's just, you know, I often talk to hunters. You know, I was talking to one of my friends, Alex, who I camp with, and he was in his deer stand last week, and he said he got really hypothermic. It was kind of one of those rainy days. You don't think you're going to have to wear a lot of stuff, but you're sitting still up in a deer stand, and, you know, you're trying not to make a lot of racket, I guess, because I wouldn't know because no one invites me hunting.
That's not random.
he said he was kind of on the verge of hypothermia, you know, just sort of. He said, man, I had to get down and go get warm, you know, because I thought I'd be a lot warmer, but it was wet. So, you know, it's kind of us in Minnesota know you can have that day that's 10 below and it just feels comfortable. And then you can have that day where it's 20 and it's just chilling you to your bones for some reason. The moisture in the air. So all these little factors of going out and being confident that you can deal with it or to at least have the confidence to go, if I'm getting cold, I love to tell people, if they're with me, I'm going, don't be a hero. If your feet are cold, let's get them warm. Because if your feet are cold, it's going to end up wrecking my trip. Because all I got to hear is going, dude, you got an extra pair of socks? My feet are so cold, I can't feel my toes. You know, stamping around. Are you having any fun? Not really. I hate this. So when you go with people, it's like when we went camping, you and I and Pete, a couple years ago for the Minnesota Bound segment.
Yep.
You took such – I was telling Meg this morning, I said – I love Bill because Bill took care of cameraman Pete, who had not been out in these kind of temperatures. And he had a lot of work to do, you know. No one knows how much work that
he's got to haul gear and shoot a story, right?
You know, he's Colonel Hal Moore. He's the first foot on the battlefield and the last to come off, as far as that goes. And you took care of him. And that, to me, you know, that's just a sense of, like, winter leadership. Like, if Pete is comfortable, this whole experience will go good. So the thing is, when you live here, it's like taking time to learn all the elements of having the right gear, knowing when to use it. And, you know, I'm not saying survival techniques, but good common Minnesota winter smarts.
Yeah.
And then winter's awesome.
You have to know how to play that game.
You do.
You really do.
And you got to suffer to learn that game, don't you? You got to fail to learn it, you know?
I've been suffering since I was 10 years old.
I still do. You know, it's like when people call me the hammock guru or something, I go, no. I just want to help teach you by my failings and my successes, but I'm just an enthusiast. And, you know, to go back for a second to YouTube and this social experiment, it's funny how, if you put out videos consistently for a while, and I have been since 2007, just because you do videos, and I have to remember this when I watch other people's videos on a subject, doesn't really mean you're an expert. Just means that you put out videos, but it leads people to think you're an expert. Do you know what I'm saying there? Like,
very much so.
It's a powerful medium, so you have to be careful how you use it.
Yep.
And, you know, I was doing a kitchen project last year, and I had to move a lot of receptacles in my kitchen, build some in, you know, fish some wire down. But I really wanted to do a better job on my mudding, my drywall.
Oh, no. So you looked up a YouTube video.
I did. And I watched about five or six guys. One guy was going, I don't like him right away. So, no, he's yelling at me. And I finally found this guy. His name was Vancouver Carpenter. Really great technique. He's going, hey, man, you know, even if it's a receptacle, you know, spread that mud out 18 to inches to 2 feet, you know, don't to get a smooth thing, you know, feather your edges. You know, he had some good tips about putting white glue into your Durabond, things to help it hang on a ceiling. Anyway, I liked him, knowledgeable. He was a working guy. I trusted his knowledge. You go, I'm putting my trust in this guy to teach me something. Or, you know, sometimes my stuff is just to inspire old guys or old gals to get out. Like, they go, that idiot can do it. I can do it. But it's a powerful tool, this video thing. And I like to remind people, I'm just an enthusiast who films because I'm a ham, and I enjoy editing. And, you know, I wanted to just made me think of something right before you went to your ads. You were talking about the Shirk family, like when you go camping, when it's not part of one of your job-related camping trips. One of my problems is I keep saying I'm going to go take a solo backpacking trip and not film and just take photographs. And I break down every time and start filming.
It never happens.
Right. You sort of become, I don't like the word addiction.
That's your agent calling. You have a new gig.
He's going, you're back in the game, kid. I got you a library in Mankato. You know, it's just, it's funny. You become accustomed to something, and I need to go take a trip where I don't film. You know, I don't know that I will. It's a little bit embarrassing to go, I don't know. Like, but on a solo trip, like the one I was just on, my sister-in-law, Cynthia, always asked me, how do you do it? How do you stand it out there alone? And I go, well, I have this camera to talk to. And, you know, you got to set up your shots and put it up and kind of ramble and edit out a lot of it. But when you're talking to that camera, I feel like I'm talking to a friend, or sometimes going, I will be putting this up. So this is sort of talking to these people that end up watching whoever they are and why they watch, they do. You know, the show Alone, have you seen that? It's a show that's out where they send people.
Very well.
Okay. They called me up like 3 years ago to be on it. And I turned him down. And the producer, this woman, kept going, you know, you're the first person to say no. Why would you say no? I said, I'll tell you why. I said, I don't want to be crying in the woods. You know, it always seems like these shows have to have this calamity moment of someone crying or sobbing or something. I don't want that. I said, my time in the woods is peace. Yes, I film myself. I enjoy that. You know, the experience with you and Pete, I enjoyed. But for the most part, I'm a self-filmer. But you guys were so cool because I said, I'm going to film you back when we go so we can have a film duel. And I didn't know, you know, I was kind of going, you know, I don't know that I possess all the skills to do this, but really, I don't want, my thing was just going, I don't want to do it. So she wanted to talk to me. She said, well, what do you think people want to watch? And I said, people watch my stuff. Sometimes people just want to watch a pleasant trip. As long as you get enough good B-roll footage of the woods, you know, the Charles Kuralt moment. Just don't have to be narrating all the time.
Yeah.
Just let nature play and then come in and do whatever your personality is. And then she called me again, said, just wondering if you have second thoughts and still want to do this. I was going, no, I don't want to do it. My gut right away was just to go, no. And then they called me for Naked and Afraid. And I went, oh, this won't go well.
Yeah, one.
No, this would not be. I don't even like being naked with myself. I'm a redheaded guy. It's a lot of really, let's just say it's a lot of pale.
That show.
Alone, just think
Alone allows people to use their bushcraft and survival skills to not just survive, but thrive. That's what I like about that show. Naked and Afraid. Yeah, you're playing someday. There is a small chance that it might crash in the woods. But is your food pack really going to burn up and your clothes accidentally snap off your body? Right? Like, it's too dire. And the people who go on that show are trying to prove something to themselves, right?
I couldn't make it through 10 minutes because I kept thinking, well, the first thing I do is I'd give myself some leaves
right.
before I ate or even got water. I'd be going, I got to cover some of myself up. Otherwise, I'm just going to die of embarrassment out here.
Did that guy just make a bra for himself?
Yeah.
That's right.
But you know, have you ever watched, he won Alone. I don't know what season. His name is Jim Baird. He's a Canadian guy, does some videos on YouTube. His stuff's amazing, man. I've been watching him. Like, he's got these 4-hour videos. He goes on these 11-day solo trips. And he's for real. And he always answers your comment if you comment on his thing. I just called him a wheel dog the other day. I said, man, you are a real wheel dog. Just watching him drag this canoe that takes him
three. He's one of the brothers, right?
Yeah, he's one of the brothers. They're awesome, man. And I don't watch, to be honest. When I have YouTube time, I don't watch a lot of other backpacking stuff. You know, I wonder sometimes if you're watching hunting stuff, because it's that old thing, like they say, chefs in a Michelin restaurant don't go home and cook 5-star meals.
No, they go to Hardee's.
Exactly. Or they're making a meatloaf. You know, they're doing some mom's old cooking. And I, you know, it's just like, no, I don't watch a lot of camping stuff. I don't know why. But I like his because it's really an adventure. And he's just dragging this canoe through a dried up beaver bog for a couple of Ks. I mean, he puts in every grunt and stuff, but I don't know. It just, a little bit of this stuff is kind of pandemic filler, you know, that I think we're all looking for. I'm sure we've all upped our watching game in some way, our reading game. Vices. I've been baking a lot. I really like baking because another side of me loves watching the Great British Baking Show because it's so kind. And I love food and I love baking.
Well, like I said, I watch the silent films because of the storytelling. For me, that's, you know, those are tools for my toolbox to see how they were able to do it without words.
Without words. And are you ramping that up? I can't remember, because of the current situation, like we're all.
Nah, I've always been that way.
All right.
And it's hard to get your hands on all of them, but all right, let's wrap this up.
All right. I just want to say one thing about coffee. Tag one thing. The reason I got into pulling a good shot is I sit around with my brother-in-law as we were at a social distance family thing one day. And I watch everybody at a party and they're talking about their IPA and their the taste of their scotch. And I'm an ex-drinker. I've been sober 34 years now.
Wow.
And when you're sitting there drinking water, I'm just going, I really wish I had some Kinetico because I got nothing to say about your tap water.
I'm telling you.
And I wanted a moment. And I said, you know, when I stopped to make an espresso, I bought myself an espresso machine. I relearned to work my mocha pot, which isn't really true espresso, but we won't get into all the nuance. I said, I need to have myself a little 20-minute a day moment of just having a good mid-afternoon coffee, whether I make a Turkish coffee or an espresso or an Americana or, you know, Roman holiday or whatever it may be. That was part of my, I look at it as a, like taking a junior college course. When you sit up at night and you learn things on YouTube and Meg goes to bed and I watch 3 hours a night of coffee videos. Number one, realizing I didn't realize it was that broad. Number two, going, I'm actually learning something really cool here. You know, I'm learning. And, you know, that's why with my videos, I've noticed kind of an uptick. And I think people are just trying to learn stuff and ask questions. And I always answer. And kind of cool. I think like we're all taking sort of a junior college course here and there. You know, you're taking one, you're upping your game in film. You know, you're taking the master, you're getting your master's now in silent film.
Yep.
So it's pretty, I don't know. We have to look at the good parts of things. All,
oh, yeah.
You know.
For sure.
Yeah.
We are all learning to survive.
In a new way. Yeah, true.
All right. Couple of bits from this. First off, next trip we take, you will be the exclusive provider of coffee. Deal.
All right. I'll do it.
People need to check out Jim Baird and his YouTube videos. Jim Baird from Malone, not the, what, congressman? Something like that?
No, not the congressman, but they're long. Like it's just really good. The guy is real. You know, it's real. And he's tough as nails, but would never tell you that. You can tell that. You know,
you just need to watch He Who Gets Slapped.
I will. I wrote that down.
I'm shocked that with your career, you have never seen that film.
I'm surprised they didn't show it to us at Clown College because we always had a once a week movie time.
It's stark and it's emotional. And then people need to dial in to your YouTube channel and check out Cappy Coleman, the 8.5-minute Halloween video, which will change your life. And then if you can't sleep that night, don't worry. Just stay up and watch Shug Hammocking. It's amazing.
You know, if people do want to get into hammocking, you know, and part of the reason I started videos was because I'd see people on these forums struggle with they can get all their hammock stuff down, but the people get into warmth once they start camping and they struggle so much with underquilts. And I was like going, I must help people to set this up right. Like it was intuitive to me, but to most people I've learned it is not. And
right.
And some people, you know, we all see it somewhere. People learn differently. Some people have to have their hand held and shown every step. Some people go, oh, just give it to me. I'll go over here and figure it out. You know, some people like to ask a lot of questions. Some people need to see it visually. Some people just need a coach going, you're doing great, kid. Now just stay at it. Quit cinching your ends too tight and you'll be a winner. Get out of Loserville. So, you know, it's just fun to everybody learns differently. I learn well by give it to me. Let me go figure it out. You know,
those videos. Well,
yeah.
Shug, thanks so much.
Yeah, Bill. Hey, man. Great talking to you.
Congratulations on the retirement. I hope at some point I can call you a liar, but that's okay. That's just going to give you more time to relax and we can get to the woods together. Deal?
Yeah, it's a deal. It's an interesting thing that I've always said to people, when you retire, I think you need a year because people always tell me, oh, you have all these things you do. And I go, yeah, but I don't know if any of them are really the thing I want to do. You know, you wait to see if something appears and it may just be, I don't know. Maybe I just sit down in Florida in a little chair in my front yard and swat flies all day and cook barbecue and drink sweet tea.
Sweet tea. Yeah.
Learn how to treat snake bites.
Yuck.
We never know. Never know. I love that about life. You know, there's all, it's like being on trail or out. there's always something around the next corner. It can be a grizzly bear, or it can be a beautiful patch of wildflowers. We don't know, but we're going to go around it, right? One way or the other.
I can't wait to see your next chapter.
All right. Well, same here. Well, thanks, man. It's great talking to you. And yeah.
We love you for being you. You give us hope and you make us smile. And in the world, there's nothing better. Thanks, Shug.
All right. Thank you, Bill.
Well, there you go. That's the Minnesota Bound podcast for today. The stories behind the stories. One other bit of homework for you. Next time you're at Google, just type in Minnesota Bound and the Shug, and you can see the original piece we shot with him. Pretty fun stuff, and we're pretty proud of that sort of television. Hey, thanks for listening today, and until next week, don't you dare forget to introduce a kid to the great outdoors.
These lakes hold a lot of stories, and all of them get better every time they're told. Because you've got 40-inch gators out there, giant lakers, crappies, sunnies, and walleye. So many walleye. So get ready with the best from clam, otter, vexlar, hummingbird, garmin, 13 fishing, and many more. The Shields Ice Fishing Sale runs now through December 13th, in-store and online at shields.com. The ice is calling.